And now for the Burt Cohen Show. America loves Hollywood. Hollywood is America. And for many, many years, Hollywood has been sort of, the bad guy in terms of the right wing, the so-called conservatives of America who just think, Hollywood is so bad. They're so left-oriented. They put all these progressive liberal films out there. And, well, I guess there's something to that, actually. Maybe that's one reason why we like Hollywood so much, is they have the freedom to communicate. They are artists. They make movies that they express, put their own feelings in there. And yes, that does involve politics sometimes. And we all know about the Oscars, all the glitz and the glamour of Oscars. But there's something else, which we have discussed here on the Burt Cohen Show before in previous years. But it's happening again, the 2010 Progy Awards for Best Progressive Films and Artists. And once again, we have with us my friend Ed Rampell. Ed, thanks for being with us on the Burt Cohen Show.
Good morning, Bert. It's a bit hard for me to hear you. Can you speak up?
Oh, I will try to speak up. Maybe you can hear that better now. Well, Ed, thanks for being with us. What are the Progies? Tell us what the Progy Awards are, how they came into being, and a little bit about their history, if you would.
Well, good morning, New Hampshire, and all our listeners. Thank you very much for your interest. I wrote a book that was published in early 2005 that was that's called Progressive Hollywood, A People's Film History of the United States. And at that time that I wrote the book, there were, since 9/11, more than 50 progressive documentaries that appeared, spearheaded, of course, by the intrepid Michael Moore, the saint of cinema. However, at the time I was doing the book in 2004, since 9/11, there were essentially only a handful, maybe five or so, progressive feature films that had been released. The most prominent, perhaps, being Frida, with Salma Hayek.
Oh, great
and,
film.
And Jeffrey Rush, who's nominated for the Oscar this year for The King's Speech. He plays Leon Trotsky in Frida. And I predicted, based on the trend going on in terms of documentaries, that there would be an increase of progressive feature films, and there would be a trend of progressive Hollywood spreading to fiction films with scripts and actors, etc. And indeed, this did happen. And it reached the point where progressive movies such as Crash, a relatively low budget, maybe $4 or $6 million film about racism, actually won the Academy Award for Best Picture. But then I noticed what happened by around 2007 was that the progressive films that most of them had been low budget, such as Good Night and Good Luck, the which is about my namesake, Edward R. Murrow, the George Clooney movie.
Great
that
movie.
These films, that the progressive films that were being made around 2007 were losing their audiences and weren't making money. In particular, the films about the Iraq and the Afghan War, such as Brian De Palma's Redacted, which was a really great anti-war film. And our listeners probably remember Brian De Palma from movies such as The Untouchables.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he directed Carrie and so on. So he's a major Hollywood director over the years. You had a rendition with major actors in it, such as Reese Witherspoon and Meryl Streep. And you had Lambs for Lions, or Lions for Lambs, I forget which, the Robert Redford movie. And they weren't performing at the box office. Now, the importance of this is I have no financial interest in these movies, in the interest of full disclosure. I don't get any payment from them or their publicists or from the studios or from the indie filmmaker. I don't get any money from them. But the importance, another way to look at box office, Bert, is that this is about how many people go see a film.
That's what it's about.
The simple fact is, if the films don't perform, they are less likely to receive financing, and if they do get made, distribution in the theaters and in other outlets. So I thought, well, why not invent an award that would shine a light on films with progressive meanings in them? So in 2007, I invented the Progies, which of course is short for the Progressives, honoring progressive films, filmmakers, and artists. And the first winner in 2007 was Denzel Washington's movie called The Great Debaters, about an African-American debating team that went on to become national champions. And Denzel Washington plays the coach of the debating team, a professor by day, but at night a labor organizer who is imprisoned by reactionaries and is accused of being a member of the Communist Party USA. Mm-hmm. The story, of course, took place during the 1930s. And the Progressive magazine, which is based in Wisconsin, appropriately, posted the Progie Awards on its website, and other lefty progressive film critics saw this, got wind of the Progies, and started contacting me. And so we co-founded an international group of progressive film critics called the James Agee Cinema Circle, named after the Nation magazine, longtime movie reviewer from years ago, and also a Pulitzer Prize winner, James Agee. So since then, we've been issuing the Progie nominations and the Progie Awards as a group annually.
And it seems to have helped somewhat. We've heard of many of these films, some really great films, those message films, certainly the Great Debaters. That was a fabulous film. And so help shining a light on it. And as you say, you know, movies aren't going to be made unless, well, for the most part, unless they're going to make money. And people need to see that some of these progressive films that really do inspire people can make money and can bring in the audiences, and the Progies can help. We are talking with Ed Rampell, co-founder of the Progie Awards for Best Progressive Films and Artists. Well, you talked about the James Agee Cinema Circle, which is a group of, I guess, of film critics, reviewers, scholars, and historians that raise public awareness about films dealing with political, social, and cultural issues. And this certainly is a very interesting time to be making movies. It's a very interesting time to be involved in political change. Is there any tie-in now with the Progies and the wave across the world from Tunisia to Wisconsin? Talk about that a little bit, if there is any connection.
The way that I personally analyze films is that I think that artists, in whatever medium, consciously or unconsciously, I believe that they have their finger on the pulse of the zeitgeist or the spirit of the
time.
Yes. And I think that we have seen some really good People's Power movie that came out in 2010. And one could argue that they sort of presaged, they were prescient, they were motion picture predictors of what was to come. Let me give you an example of one of the films that won an award called the Our Daily Bread Award. By the way, the awards in the various Progie categories are named after great filmmakers of social conscience and consciousness, or great movies of the same.
And we'll go through that list.
Our Daily Bread was a 1934 classic movie by King Vidor, a very big Hollywood director, by the way, at the time. And it's about an American collective farm, a commune during the Great Depression. And it was produced by Charlie Chaplin before he made Modern Times. So in the Our Daily Bread Award, we honor the most positive and inspiring working class screen image. And the nominees, we have up to five nominees per category unless there's a tie. We had three nominees in this category. They include The Fighter, which your neighbor state, people in Massachusetts, will be happy to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it's set in Lowell, Massachusetts. And, Bert, you probably know this better than me, but wasn't Lowell the site of a very historic labor strike early in the 20th century?
Well, it was 1912 in Lawrence. There's Lawrence right next door. Basically
okay.
The same thing. But Lowell is the home of Jack Kerouac.
Wow.
Yeah. That tells you something. But anyway,
well,
go on with The Fighter. I have yet to see that, but I hear it's a very, very good film. But go on.
Yeah, The Fighter is up for a lot of Oscars.
Yes.
And Mark Wahlberg himself has been snubbed by almost every one of the major awards so far. Mark Wahlberg has not won, but as we'll tell the readers later, he actually did win a Progie. But The Fighter, the reason why I think our voters selected this for the Our Daily Bread category, Progie category, is because The Fighter is set in a very blue-collar working class milieu in Lowell.
Right.
And the other nominee was a film about revolt in Bolivia, which we'll talk about more later, called Even the Rain. But the winner in the Our Daily Bread Progie Award category is a British film called Made in Dagenham.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, this is a really, really wonderful film with lots of humor based on a true story about British women in the late 60s, who were working at one of the largest, I think it was a Ford auto plant in all of Europe at the time. And they were paid less than their male counterparts. So the women, led by Sally Hawkins, great actress, the women organize and stage a strike. And it's just an absolutely delightful, triumphant, beautiful film that shows the power of women, the power of the working class, if they organize, if they unite. And it shows how the workers and how mass movements can pressure government to enact programs, legislation, etc., through protests, demonstrations, various forms of pressure put on government to usher in reform.
We can make real changes. And that's an interesting thing because most of the time, I think most Americans, probably more than other Western countries, really accept their sense of powerlessness, the belief that nothing we can do will change anything. There's nothing we can do. And what I see now spreading across the world is people are realizing, oh, yeah, maybe I can do something about this. And so that's interesting that Made in Dagenham is popular now. And that's a British film, is it?
It's a UK film.
Uh-huh.
It's a British film. And the thing is that it's not strident.
Mm-hmm.
It's not preachy. In fact, after I saw it, I was in Europe, and in Switzerland, this film is advertised as we want sex.
What?
And the reason for that is because during one of the protests, there's a big banner that the women are carrying as they march through the streets of, I believe it's London. And they have a huge banner that says, we want sexual equality, or something to that effect. But what happens is that just because of the way that it's unfolded or whatever, the banner. At first, you could just see we want sex.
Oh, jeez.
So all the men watching the demonstration, of course, are cheering for the women. So in Switzerland, that's the English translation of the title of Made in Dagenham. So it's a very entertaining, witty, it's a family drama as well as a strike drama. And Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Hoskins plays a union leader who takes the side of the women against not only the bosses, but a lot of the union bureaucrats. He stands up with the women against male chauvinism. And then we find out in the film what his inner reasons are for siding with the women. The film is also a critique of Stalinism and of union bureaucrats. And it's just an absolute delight. I only saw it once, but I can't wait to see it again.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I need to see it. I know it's been playing in art houses around the country. And Made in Dagenham is the winner of the Daily Bread Award. We are talking with Ed Rampell about the 2010 Progy Awards for Best Progressive Films and Artists. And Ed, I'm pleased that you mentioned how, you know, it's not heavy-handed, because I think sometimes people are concerned that, oh, if it's political, it's going to hit you over the head with a 2x4, you know, be this way politically. All these films, I think every single one of them is not like that, specifically not like that. They're art. You know, if you get too political, something is the art is adversely affected. But these are absolutely art. They're based on true stories oftentimes and tell something that people can relate to. And that's one reason it's so powerful, why the House Un-American Activities Committee and others got down on Hollywood, because the art is sometimes, you know, it's telling the truth and it's from people's heart. That's what art is supposed to be. Let's see what else. There's a lot of movies that are listed here. There's a category called The Trumbo. What is The Trumbo? Where did that name come from? And what films are nominated for The Trumbo Award this year?
The Trumbo is named after the great screenwriter Dalton Trumbo. Dalton Trumbo was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party who wrote a lot of classic movies during World War II, such as 30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blacklisted in 1947. He was one of the Hollywood 10, and he actually was sent to jail for refusing to cooperate with the House Un-American Activities Committee. He was cited for contempt of Congress, and along with 9 of his comrades, he was actually sent to jail, an American political prisoner.
Crazy.
Now, Dalton Trumbo, when he got out of jail, continued writing under assumed names. During part of the Hollywood blacklist, he went to live in Mexico. And I believe it was while he was living in Mexico, he wrote a little bullfighting movie. And in 1957 or so, at the Academy Awards live ceremony, they announced the winner in that screenwriting category, and they announced the name of who they believed was the screenwriter. Mm-hmm. I think it was Robert Rich, and nobody got out of the audience to accept the Oscar. now you know that those golden statuettes are the most coveted thing.
Oh yeah.
In Hollywood.
Sure.
And nobody rose to claim it. Well, there was a reason why. It was an assumed name by a former, by that time, I think he had left the party, a former communist, Dalton Trumbo, who was blacklisted and couldn't use his own name.
Unbelievable.
So he won the Academy Award. Now, in 1960, Kirk Douglas and Otto Preminger had the courage to stand up to the blacklist, and they gave Trumbo screen credit for Spartacus and for Exodus. And he is more or less the screenwriter who is credited with getting screen credits to break the Hollywood blacklist. And we decided to name our Best Progressive Picture Award the Trumbo in honor of Dalton.
And there
just
was...
as an aside, kind of a sad aside, okay. His son, Chris Trumbo, who was also a screenwriter, unfortunately, he just passed away in January, unfortunately.
There was a movie about Dalton Trumbo, was there not?
Absolutely correct. There recently was a documentary that Chris wrote using his dad's letters, largely. And I think it was called Dalton Trumbo, Red, White, and Blacklisted.
Oh, yeah, I think that's right, yep.
I actually went to see it in L.A. There was a theatrical version of it, and various really good actors played Dalton. It was more or less a one-man show, more or less. And the night I saw it, Joe Mantegna, mm-hmm. I think that's how you say his name?
I believe so.
Joe Mantegna played Dalton Trumbo.
Hmm.
There's a documentary version of it with various really noted actors reading Dalton Trumbo's letters and so on. And it's a really good film. I highly recommend it. Of course, his son, Chris, voted for it for the Best Documentary Progy that year.
Why not? So let's, without further ado, the nominees for the Trumbo Award for 2010 are...
Made in Dagenham.
Yep.
Casino Jack, which is about Jack Abramoff, the Uber lobbyist.
Uh-huh.
The Social Network, about the creators of
Facebook
and their subsequent falling out. And the winner is Even the Rain.
Now, tell us about that. This is for the Best Progressive Picture of the Year, Even the Rain. I don't know about that film.
Well, even though I live in the belly of the entertainment beast, Los Angeles, I don't get to see every film, especially, let's say, if they're at the Toronto Film Festival. One of our members, Bill Myers, doesn't live that far from Toronto, so he goes and covers that, and he sees a lot of the films there. A lot of our members chose Even the Rain in about half the Progy categories. And by the way, it is the big winner for the Progies. It won 4 awards this year. And Even the Rain is set in Cochabamba in Bolivia. And the title comes from a water company, which I believe in real life was Bechtel, but in the movie, I don't think they named the multinational.
Mm-hmm.
But on this international company made a deal in Bolivia with the government that the people in Cochabamba would have to pay for their water.
Yeah.
And they couldn't use any other source of water, such as from catchments. They had to use the water from provided by this company. So that's where the phrase comes from. At one point, the demonstrators, one of the rebels says, even the rain, we can't even drink the rainwater, even the rain. And in real life, the Bolivians rose up and staged a huge revolt. And they drove Bechtel out. They got back the rights to their water. It was a huge triumph. And it paved the way, many believe, for the presidency of the leftist president now of Bolivia, Evo Morales.
Yes.
And Even the Rain involves a Spanish feature film movie crew goes to... Cochabamba to make a movie about Christopher Columbus and the early Spanish conquest of what we now call the Americas. And the scenes that they shoot of their feature film are very resonant and eerie in terms of how it reflects the contemporary reality of the peasants that they're using as extras and so on for their feature film. So it's a very dialectical, very interesting relationship. And it stars Gael Garcia Bernal, who played Che Guevara in The Motorcycle Diaries.
Oh, yeah, good film.
And it's lesser known, but before Bernal played the young Che Guevara, he played the more mature Che Guevara in a cable TV two-part made-for-TV movie called Fidel.
Oh.
And he played Che as an adult revolutionary and then helping to overthrow Batista and then coming to power. So, of course, it's ironic because Che Guevara was assassinated in Bolivia.
Yes, he was.
And one could say that this film and the Cochabamba revolt and the ensuing presidency of Evo Morales, one could say it was Che Guevara's revenge.
Uh-huh. Interesting, interesting. We are talking with Ed Rampell about the Progy Awards for Best Progressive Films and Artists from 2010. And Even the Rain, I'm going to put that on my list for sure. Well, what else do we have? There's what about for Best Actor? I believe it's called The Garfield. Tell us about that.
The Garfield is named after a great actor named John Garfield. He rose out of the proletarian theater of the 1930s. And he starred in progressive films such as Gentleman's Agreement and Force of Evil. He was a huge star, but then he ran into trouble with the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Mm-hmm.
He had a heart condition, and it's believed that all the pressure from HUAC caused his heart attack and killed him.
Oh, my.
He was a really great actor. So we named the Progy Award for Best Actor in a Progressive Picture after John Garfield. And the nominees are Jeffrey Rush, who plays speech therapist in The King's Speech.
Yes.
You mentioned Jack Kerouac earlier, so here's a good Kerouac reference.
Right.
Another nominee is James Franco, no, not for 127 Hours, but James Franco in the movie Howl. Which
Alan
is about
Ginsberg.
Kerouac's friend, Allen Ginsberg,
yep.
And his poem Howl and the Obscenity Trial.
Great,
now,
great poem.
The winners for the Garfield Award, we actually have a tie this year. And Mark Wahlberg has won for The Fighter. And again, he was snubbed by all the other awards, but he's won a Progy. Congratulations, Mark. And he has tied with Kevin Spacey for Casino Jack, portraying the lobbyist Jack Abramoff.
Fascinating. I got to check that one out as well. So tie for Mark Wahlberg in The Fighter and Casino Jack, Kevin Spacey for Best Actor from the Progressive Movie Awards. Now, who gets to vote on these awards? What is the committee or group that decides this? Is it people from different movie realms, Hollywood as well as Toronto or something like that?
Well, the James Agee Cinema Circle
right.
is the group that democratically votes on the Progies, and we have a small international group of film critics, reviewers, movie historians, cinema scholars,
mm-hmm.
Who are progressive-minded politically, culturally, socially,
mm-hmm.
meaning we're pro-labor, we're pro-environment, we're pro-women's rights, we're pro-ethnic rights, pro-human rights, anti-war, and so on.
Good stuff.
We have a progy called the Pasolini, which is for the best gay rights film of the year. And so it's a very simple criteria to participate. You have to, in some medium, it could be online, it could be in print, radio, TV, you have to cover films either as a scholar or as some kind of a reporter, journalist, blogger, mm-hmm. et cetera. And again, you have to be politically progressive. And one of our members, by the way, is a film critic whose reviews appear, and I believe it's the Boston Phoenix,
right.
Gerald Peary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small group. We have international members. In addition to Chris Trumbo, who we just lost, we have the son of another member of the Hollywood 10, screenwriter Alva Bessie, who was nominated for an Academy Award for the Errol Flynn World War II movie Objective Burma. His son, Dan Bessie, is a member of the James Agee Cinema Circle. And so we democratically vote for the nominees and then for the winners.
And speaking of winners, the Best Actress Award is called the Karen Morley. Now, that name rings a bell, but I'm not sure who she was. The Karen Morley Award. Tell us about that.
Well, Karen Morley was the female lead in a movie we mentioned before called Our Daily Bread. She plays a woman living on the collective farm that's portrayed in the 1934 classic Our Daily Bread. And she also co-starred in a film that our listeners might be more familiar with, especially since I think it was Brian De Palma actually remade it with Al Pacino, Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the original 1932 Scarface with Jimmy Cagney.
Uh-huh.
And she ran for the lieutenant governor office in New York State in 1954 during the height of the McCarthy era. She ran for lieutenant governor on the American Labor Party ticket and lived to the ripe old age of 93, passed away in the year 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So the Proby Award for Best Actress in a Film Portraying Women in a Progressive Picture, the nominees are Sally Hawkins, who is the star of Maid in Dagenham.
Yes.
But the winner is Naomi Watts, who portrayed Valerie Plame from the CIA leak case in the movie Fair Game, co-starring Sean Penn as Plame's husband, former Ambassador Joe Wilson.
No kidding. Well, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't heard of that film. Of course, I know about the Valerie Plame case, and I think Naomi Watts is one of the best female actors that there is, and Sean Penn. I haven't seen anything Sean Penn has done that I don't like, so I got to see that movie, Fair Game. It's about the targeting of Valerie Plame, huh?
Absolutely. It's actually quite a good thriller, very good film. I highly recommend it. I have to say, you just used kind of what's the operative phrase for the Progies and the James Agee Cinema Circle. I haven't heard of that film. That's the whole point of the Progies.
Uh-huh.
And it also is very true for me. As I said earlier, I don't get to see every film, even though I live in L.A. And you know, I hadn't even heard of even The Rain. Last Monday, I was invited by a distinguished film critic named Stephen Farber to be on a panel at the Landmark Theater, one of the best theaters in L.A., after a screening of Even the Rain. So I got to see it and then speak about it and the Progies, et cetera, afterwards. And I have to tell you that I'm so grateful to our participants who had seen it at a film festival, et cetera, and then nominated it and bringing it to my own awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the whole idea behind the Progies.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to just add that after I saw it, I decided that I would vote for it for winner in a number of categories.
Mm-hmm. Fair game. Well, I have to watch for that. And stepping outside of best film, best actor, best actress, best anti-war film. And that's named after the great film, French filmmaker Jean Renoir, who, if anybody hasn't seen The Grand Illusion, that is a great, great film from 1937 about the illusion of borders and boundaries and how it's just a grand illusion. It's about the horrible First World War. So the best anti-war film, what are the nominees and who won?
The nominees are Miral, Route Irish, which is written by screenwriter Paul Laverty, who wrote the big this year's big Progy Award winner, Even the Rain. And I believe it's directed by Ken Loach.
Well, what about that first one you mentioned, Miral? I don't know about that.
I haven't seen it.
Ah, okay.
I believe it might be a foreign language film. But the winner, interestingly enough, Route Irish is, from Ireland or Britain. But the winner is actually an American film, starring a big American star, and that is
ta-da.
Matt Damon.
Oh, Matt Damon.
And it's a wonderful film that is about the Iraq War, and it's really great because it deals with all the lies about weapons of mass destruction. And Donald Rumsfeld is going around the country perpetuating his pathological lies. But we know, Donald Rumsfeld, you are a war criminal. You are a liar. And history will catch up with you sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's already curtailing his international traveling so that he won't be indicted overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the film is called The Green Zone.
The Green
which is...
Zone. It's a really good, just as a drama, just as a war movie, it's really good. And but it has some really powerful politics in there about the lies about weapons of mass destruction. And getting back to Miral,
yeah.
That also is set in the Middle East. And it stars Willem Dafoe Freda Pinta. And it's directed by a painter who's also a film director named Julian Schnabel. And Freda Pinto was in an Oscar-winning, a big Oscar-winning film for Best Picture that was called Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
And so according to IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, Miral is a drama about an orphan Palestinian girl growing up in the wake of the first Arab-Israeli war who finds herself drawn into the conflict, directed by Julian Schnabel.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of the nominees. But again, the winner, the Matt Damon film, The Green Zone.
The Green Zone. I'm reminded of, I think it was one of last year's winner, or maybe the years before of the Progies, was Amrika. Very, very good film that I only saw because of talking with you and finding out about the Progies, about Palestinians coming to America, and just a very, very good film.
It is. And also, I have to say that last year, almost exactly a year ago, Amrika, which by the way is an Arab way of saying
America.
America.
Yep.
Last year, the star of the film came to the Spirit Awards.
What's
and
that?
So I actually got to dance with her at the after party.
Uh-huh.
And she was a very, very sweet, very delightful young actress who plays the lead role. I believe her name, I'm sorry, mispronounce it. I'm sorry. But I believe her name is Nisreen Faour. But in any case, please forgive me if I mispronounced it.
Well, there's
but
some
yeah,
great...
It was a very good film.
There are some great films that are often overlooked, and that's why we're here talking about these things on the Burt Cohen Show with Ed Rampell about the Progressive Movie Awards, the Progies. And I know in Hollywood for years there's been a Best Foreign Film Award. Now, I don't know how they can do that because there's, I mean, you know, how America-centric can it be to say Best Foreign Film for all the different categories? But you have a film, an award for the Best Progressive Foreign Film named after, talk about pronunciation, Guillo Pontecorvo? Is it Guillo?
It's exactly right. You got it. Guillo Pontecorvo is an Italian director. He's best known for a 1966 or so film called The Battle of Algiers.
An amazing film.
And you know, The Battle of Algiers, which is very relevant, I guess, to what's going on now in the Middle East and North Africa.
True.
The Battle of Algiers was re-released just a couple of years ago.
Huh.
And also, I think at the Pentagon, during the height of the resistance during the Iraq War, I think that the Pentagon itself was actually screening the film, I believe, for officers to study how to deal with urban insurrections. And it's a very powerful film.
Oh,
I remember when I was
powerful.
A kid,
yeah.
I saw it at a kind of a fundraiser at the Elgin Theater in Manhattan for the Black Panther Party.
That tells you something.
And also, Pontecorvo directed a film that Marlon Brando said he thought was the best movie he was in. No, it wasn't Streetcar Named Desire or On the Waterfront. Brando thought the best movie he was in, the most important movie, was called Burn by Guillo Pontecorvo. And that's about a revolution in the Caribbean islands.
Oh, wow.
And this year we have two nominees for the Guillo, the Best Progressive Foreign Film Progie. One is also talking about the Middle East. It's called Tears of Gaza. But the winner is Even the Rain, the Bolivian People's Power movie.
So that got Best Progressive Foreign Film as well as Best Progressive Picture.
That's right, the Trumbo and the Guillo.
And it
did kind of sweep the Progies. It's the big award winner. It did get a total of four films.
Wow.
Four Progie Awards. Rather.
Even the Rain. I have to make sure to see that. And there's another category, the Ziga, which I love documentaries. I think, it's heartening to see the popularity of documentaries going up. It used to be not many people saw documentaries, but there's some great documentaries being seen. I'm in the middle of watching Restrepo. I think that's the pronunciation of a documentary about Americans fighting a terrible battle in Afghanistan. But do tell us about the award for Best Progressive Documentary.
The nominees are Client 9.
Which I don't know about. What's that?
Which Client 9 is about Elliot Spitzer.
Oh, right.
The former law enforcer, the sheriff of Wall Street, who then became the governor of New York State, and then resigned following a sex scandal with prostitutes.
Right.
And
I guess he was Client 9.
His code name was Client 9, so
right.
Hence the title of the film.
And it's a documentary.
Now,
wow.
The other nominee for the Giga is South of the Border, which
yes.
is directed by Oliver Stone.
Yes.
Now, Oliver is mainly known as a feature film director for movies such as JFK and Born on the 4th of July and Platoon. But he also makes documentaries. He's made two about Fidel Castro for HBO, one of which they won't release because it's too sympathetic. But, of course,
boy.
The one that is more critical of Castro, they've shown that on HBO. And he's quite a good documentary film director. And South of the Border is about Oliver goes on kind of a road trip throughout South America and also to Cuba. And he interviews the new left-leaning presidents.
Yes.
Such as Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, Evo Morales.
Yes.
In
Bolivia.
Bolivia. Korea, in Ecuador, and he also does a brief interview with Raul Castro, not Fidel, as in his previous documentaries.
But there's also Lula da Silva, I think it is, from Brazil.
Absolutely.
Very, very good film. Yeah, well done.
And the Argentine president, et cetera. So there's a total of six heads of state or former heads of state that he interviews. And, it's something that is very widely overlooked. Since the collapse of the Soviet Union and the East Bloc, the Warsaw Pact alliance, et cetera, and the rise of Islamic fundamentalist extremism, on the international stage, it seems as if the left, the traditional left, in terms of class struggle, socialism, et cetera, has been on the decline. But there's one part of the world where it's ascendant, and that is in Latin America. And so Stone shines the spotlight on what Hugo Chavez calls this movement for 21st century socialism. And it's a really great documentary that will really open the eyes of people to what's going on in the one part of the world where the left is winning.
Absolutely. It's taken
over.
And
I highly recommend it, but...
the winner...
it didn't win the Progy. It was edged out by Inside Job. Now, we mentioned that Kevin Spacey plays Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist. In Casino Jack, and Inside Job is also about Wall Street corruption, and it's Charles Ferguson's account of how the bankers, Wall Street created the financial meltdown, and it's very much like indicting them. For their complicity in crimes. And the narrator, speaking of The Green Zone, an example of a big-budget Hollywood studio film that could also be progressive, starring Matt Damon, the narrator is none other than Matt Damon.
Good for him. Good for him. We are talking about the Progressive Movie Awards for the year ended 2010 with Ed Rampell, our man in Hollywood. And there's a lot of different films on here. I'm curious about skipping ahead just a little bit. I saw The Social Network, and I'm curious why that is on there. It's a very popular film. It's about Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook, and it won something called the Buñuel. Which tell us about what that award is all about.
Well, Louis Buñuel was a great Spanish surrealist. Film director. He and Salvador Dali made an outrageous film in 1929 called The Andalusian Dog. And that begins, by the way, with a person sitting in a barber's chair, an old-fashioned barber shop, and the barber, who I think is actually Louis Buñuel himself, the barber has the old-fashioned open razor blade, and he's sharpening it. And then he goes to the person sitting in the barber's chair and takes the eye and puts the razor blade to the eye and slices the eye open.
Ugh.
And, of course, what Buñuel and Dali were saying is, we're going to open your eyes.
Oh, God.
And Louis Buñuel had to flee Franco's Spain. He was for the Republic. He was against fascism.
Right.
He went to live in Mexico. He made movies like a Mexican version of Robinson Crusoe. But then he went on to make a lot of great films back in Europe, such as the 1967 masterpiece Belle de Jour, starring Catherine Deneuve, who is a... bourgeois housewife by night, but Belle de Jour, beauty of the day, by day she's a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1972, Buñuel made the comedy, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie. So the Bunwell is a Progie Award for the most slyly subversible, the most slyly subversive satirical cinematic film in terms of form, style, and content. And so the nominees this year were Hitler in Hollywood,
which I never heard of,
Enter the Void, and The Social Network. And The Social Network is the Progie Award winner. And I do recommend that people see The Social Network. I think it's a very interesting critique of capitalists and of capitalism. And the thing that kind of interests me about the portrayal of Zuckerberg in the film is that, of course, I've never met Zuckerberg, so I'm just saying based on the portrayal in the film, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he comes across as a complete social retard.
Yes.
A complete loser with the opposite sex and with his male friends who he has falling out with, et cetera.
Right.
And the irony is that this guy creates this kind of virtual way to have relationships in cyberspace because he really can't do it in real space, in reality.
Right.
So psychologically, it's very interesting. Some film critics have been saying it's a Citizen Kane of our time, which is supposed to be based on the media tycoon William Randolph Hearst, the Orson Welles 1940 or 41 classic. And I actually do recommend The Social Network. It is quite a good film, and I think it is very slyly a very sly critique of capitalism.
It certainly shows how making a whole bunch of money doesn't make you a nice person.
No, that's true. Also, the thing is that we're talking now about the Facebook revolution in Tunisia and Egypt, et cetera.
Yes.
And the film, unfortunately, doesn't really deal with that aspect of Facebook. It deals more with using it for dating. By the way, the director, I believe it was either the director, Fincher, or the screenwriter, Aaron Sorkin, I can't remember which one, said in an interview that they weren't themselves very familiar with Facebook. And it actually shows in the film because they don't do a good, you would think in a movie about it, they would have a very good, it would only take a 60 seconds or less cinematically to show how Facebook works, and they never do it, which is kind of strange.
Huh. That is a little bit strange.
But nevertheless, it's a great critique of capitalism. But unfortunately, the sequel about the Facebook revolutions, let's call it The Socialist Network, that has yet to be made.
That's true. Well, we've long had socialism for the very wealthy. The government serves them as a class very, very well, and everybody else is out on their own. We are talking with Ed Rampell about the Progressive Awards. We can't go through all of them. We don't have enough time, but I did want to ask you about one of my favorite films through the years that I've taught American history, and I use the 1995 movie The Cradle Will Rock with Tim Robbins. There's a revival of that, I guess, of The Cradle Will Rock. Wonderful movie.
That's right. The Cradle Will Rock was originally a musical by Mark Blitzstein or Blitzstein, and it was it's considered one of the great classics of proletarian theater, and it's a pro-labor, pro-strike play that Orson Welles and John Houseman were to direct and produce under the federal theater project of the New Deal in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
To make a long story short, I know we're running out of time, as the great Tim Robbins 1999 movie shows, they were essentially, for a variety of reasons, locked out of the theater, the Broadway theater, the day they were to premiere The Cradle Will Rock in 1937. And so what Orson Welles and John Houseman and the cast and crew did was they found another theater, they marched through the streets of Broadway to the other theater, because of the Actors' Equity and the Musicians' Union rules, they were forbidden from having the full orchestra and forbidden from appearing on stage. So what they did at this really large theater called the Venice Theater, where the audience members tore down a Mussolini fascist flag that was flying there, they put the actors in the audience instead of on stage, so they got around the Actors' Equity rule, and they got around the rule about the orchestra because Mark Blitzstein, the composer, played the piano, and he was only accompanied by an accordionist.
Mm.
And they performed the play. It got a huge ovation. It had a two-week run. Over 14 days, 13,000 people saw it. And then it went on to tour steel cities in Pennsylvania and mm-hmm. another state, because it's set in Steel Town, USA, and it's about steel workers and other union organizing, et cetera. So this was the number one play that I'd heard about and I'd seen depicted in bits and pieces in the Tim Robbins movie Cradle Will Rock. This was the number one play on my list that I wanted to go see. And finally, my dream came true on Friday night. It was at the Stella Adler Theater at Hollywood and Highland, right across the street from the Kodak Theater with the Oscar ceremony. And it was presented by the Blank Theater at the Stella Adler, where, by the way, the acting school for the late method actress is also headquartered there. And it was just absolutely great. I just loved it. Now, Bert, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Based on what you had seen in the Tim Robbins movie, did you think that the play, not the movie, but the play within the movie, did you think that The Cradle Will Rock by Blitzstein, did you think it was funny?
I'm trying to remember. You know, I don't remember the play within the play now.
Well, I did not get the impression that it was very comedic and very humorous. But the production by the Blank Theater, directed by Daniel Henning, is hilarious. It's just full of hijinks, kind of theater of the absurd,
uh-huh.
the way it makes fun of the
Perfect.
Elites, of the bourgeoisie, et cetera. So it's a very funny play, but it's also very timely.
Yes.
It shows somebody just like the Koch brothers, who are much in the news now, behind the scenes money bags, or not so behind the scenes anymore, thanks to an enterprising reporter from Buffalo.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But it shows Mr.
And
how
yes.
he finances a Tea Party type group called the Liberty Committee to help bust the union.
Right. Well, I'd recommend people see that movie as well. Ed, it's been fun as always. And if people want to get the full list and find out more of these films that they haven't heard of but really ought to see, some great art, great politics, there's got to be some website to which you can direct them.
Go to HollywoodProgressive.com. The Progressive magazine has its hands full with what's going on in Wisconsin. You know that they're
sure.
based right there in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And Matt Rothschild, the editor, told me in an email he's going to print the progies, but right now he's having the time of his life. He's in heaven covering the demos there.
I'll bet.
And it's also at Jester Entertainment and various places on the internet, but certainly HollywoodProgressive.com.
HollywoodProgressive.com. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I'll have to make sure to see these movies. I've never been disappointed by your recommendations, Ed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and viva the workers of Wisconsin and throughout America. Strike!
Right on. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next year. Thanks for listening to The Bert Cohen Show. A little bit about Hollywood. No, it wasn't The Bert Cohen Show. Yes, it was The Bert Cohen Show. I do two shows, so I forget. It's all about Hollywood. As the Kinks will tell you.
Everybody's a dreamer, and everybody's a star, and everybody's in movies. It doesn't matter. matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house and on every street. And if you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, their names are written in concrete. Don't step on Greta Garbo as you walk down.